Hello everybody, welcome back to Double Trouble. I'm one of your hosts, Tyler, and today we're going to talk about a very important case that I don't think gets talked about all that often. Yes, we're going to talk about the Brandon Lawson case. So basically I'm just going to jump right into it. This episode is indeed sponsored by Anchor, but we'll get into that at the commercial break. But right now, let's just jump right into it. So, as many of you might not know, Brandon Lawson was only 26 years old when he went missing on August 9th, 2013. And the sum, it is indeed still puzzling case for a number of reasons. Not only was Brandon in contact with his brother Kyle moments before he disappeared, but they were also in the same area, possibly yards apart. Let me repeat that. Brandon and his brother Kyle were possibly yards apart before he disappeared, which is crazy to me. Like, that's, if I was his brother, I'd be like, whoa. Like, I wouldn't know how to react. Like, already I'm just, like, trembling over my words because I'm like, whoa, really? So this is like the basics of this case right here. So basically, Brandon was in a fight with his long-term girlfriend, Vanessa, and he left their home. His truck ran out of gas and he asked his brother to bring a gas can. When Kyle got there, Brandon was not in his vehicle. They spoke on the phone, and a police officer pulled up behind Brandon's truck. Brandon said to Kyle, "One time, run." According to Kyle, this means law enforcement, run. Brandon was indeed close enough to observe what was happening at his truck, but no one at the scene ever saw him. Like, what? But apparently, when Kyle refused to run from the cop, Brandon hung up on him for whatever reason. This detail of this case makes the case even more confusing because Brandon himself actually called 911 before Kyle's arrival. So that is kind of confusing. You can listen to the 911 recording online if you just look up the Brandon Lawson case. The 911 recording is online, but I'll play it for you right now, just in case you do want to hear it. So, yeah, here it is.
Yeah, coming in the middle of the field, it's type produced first from Cobb and Hubbard. Truck is going towards Javelin on both sides. Got truck ran out of gas. There's one part here. You got to take the beach to the woods.
So as you just heard, that was the 911 call audio from Brandon Lawson, and the original 911 audio track was edited for clarity, and it ended up that nothing was added. The operator's voice was removed to put the emphasis on Brandon's words and phrases. Time spaces were inserted between some phases where Brandon's sentences were running together. Various levels of audio compression were used to clamp down on the loud passages and to raise the level of passages where low volume was indeed an issue. The program was used for this editing was Audacity. Whether or not the isolated sounds are supposedly gunshots, I don't know, but in my own speculation, there were some sort of sounds. maybe not from the original recording. But the real question that I have is, why did Brandon call for help and then call Kyle to, or tell Kyle to run from the officer? That just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like, what is he trying to explain to the emergency dispatcher? And what events led up to this night? Like, why did this night turn out the way it did? I have no idea. I would like to know. But basically, the phone call with Kyle would be the last time anyone ever spoke to Brandon Lawson. And it's been over 7 years since his disappearance. And that's the crazy part about it. And it still remains unsolved to this day. So basically, I'm just going to run through a timeline of the events leading up to his disappearance. So, buckle in. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but let's take a brief break to tell you about Anchor, who is sponsoring this broadcast. So before the advertisement, I told you that I was going to run through a timeline. So basically, on August 8th of 2013 at approximately 10:45 to 11 p.m., Brandon and LaDissa argued. And LaDissa did go on the Missing Maura Murray podcast, saying that the argument started because she believed Brandon was on drugs. She told him to get out, which Kyle did later confirm that Brandon had done methamphetamines prior to his disappearance. Brandon had ongoing issues with substance abuse and had previously been clean for 6 months. At 11:54 that same night, Brandon leaves his house in San Angelo, Texas. It's believed he was heading to his dad's house near Fort Worth, Texas. August 9th, 2013, at approximately 12:30 a.m., Brandon calls Kyle to say he ran out of gas while driving on US 277 towards Bronte, Texas. Kyle, with his girlfriend and son in the car, head over to LaDissa's because they need to pick up a gas can. Approximately 20 minutes later, Brandon calls 911. 8 minutes later, a passing truck driver calls 911 to report Brandon's abandoned truck on the side of the highway. The vehicle was parked in a hazardous manner with its tail end hanging over the white line. 1:18 a.m., Kyle called Brandon to find his exact location. Brandon sounded out a breath like he was running and claimed he was bleeding. He told them to hurry before hanging up. Approximately 1:30 a.m., Kyle arrives at Brandon's truck, but he's not in the vehicle, which is weird because you would think that Brandon would have stayed in his truck, knowing that he was bleeding and sounded out of breath. But while Kyle was on the phone with Brandon, a police officer pulls up to the scene. Brandon says one time run, which, like I said earlier, means officer run, to Kyle, to which Kyle responded that he wasn't going to run. Brandon said, "Where is your pride, motherfucker?" Then hung up. Approximately 1:30 to 4:30 a.m., the details are a little unclear during this time, but Kyle says that he drove up and down the highway looking for Brandon. At this point, he had to leave to get his son food. Afterward, he returned to search, possibly with friends. And then at approximately 4 a.m., LaDissa woke up and noticed multiple missed calls from Kyle, Brandon, and Brandon's mom. Her phone had been in her van because her only charger at the time was a car charger, which is weird because, hello, 21st century, you would think that she would have an actual charger, like anybody. But for some reason, she only had a car charger. So then Ladissa tries to call Brandon back, but his phone continuously rings. She assumes he doesn't have service. She eventually speaks to Kyle, Brandon's brother, and he tells her that he's at the truck, but they haven't been able to find Brandon. And then 3 hours later, Kyle puts gas in Brandon's truck and leaves. Approximately 8:30 to 9 a.m., the sheriff's department has Brandon's truck towed. Why it took that long, I have no idea. But let's go into some of the other important details of this case. Brandon did have an outstanding warrant, and Kyle did believe that this to be the reason that Brandon was hiding from the officer at the scene, and why Brandon told Kyle to run, because Brandon knew he had that warrant and didn't want Kyle to be involved. He didn't know that Brandon had called 911 and didn't realize how serious the situation was at that time. When Brandon told Kyle he was bleeding, Kyle assumed he had tripped or run into a cactus. Brandon never told him of an attack or anyone else present that night. So nobody can know for sure why Brandon was bleeding or what had happened prior to. But the one thing is that Brandon had been experiencing paranoia that day. He did tell Kyle and Ladissa that. And he said that he had people from the neighborhood after him. Ladissa doesn't know why Brandon said that, and Kyle is adamant that Brandon was simply being paranoid. Which, to me, I wouldn't just say that, you know, my siblings being paranoid. I would want to make sure that they're okay. But that's just me. But some other important things is that the law enforcement initially suspected that Kyle was involved, either by helping Brandon run away or due to foul play. Kyle agreed to take a polygraph. He's been administered 2 times and did pass. The area where Brandon disappeared has been searched many times, both on foot and from a bird's eye view. Thermal imaging cameras, plane searches, and cadaver dogs were all used in the days after. A PI, so a private investigator, by the Lawsons also searched via helicopter, and nothing was found. The terrain in the area where Brandon disappeared is extremely rough. It's known to be inhabited by wild hogs and rattlesnakes, so, you know, they can't go on foot because, you know, rattlesnakes are poisonous. Like, you're done. They're venomous. Like, adios amigos. This is Brandon's last known location, so if he was on foot and bleeding and out of breath, he should be around there. He was indeed right next to the Colorado River, which was experiencing severe droughts at this time. The river was said to be knee-deep at its highest. Some listeners of that 911 call believe they can hear gunshots in the background. But to me, I didn't hear the gunshots, so I don't know. But Kyle says that the sound or the noise in the background is a noise of cars driving on the bridge over the Colorado River, which, you know, possibly could be gunshots. Who knows? But according to this Sam Anglo news article, or a lot of news articles out there, Brandon withdrew from his 401k before his disappearance. This was actually confirmed by Ladissa in an article, as although she's unaware whether he received the money, it's really unclear at this point. His last paycheck was direct deposited on the night he went missing, and Brandon never withdrew that money. So, like, why would he only withdraw or take his 401k but not his direct deposit money? That's weird to me. It just doesn't make sense. So the weird thing is that some of Brandon's items, such as his phone, keys, or wallet, they've never been recovered. So possibly he's out there, possibly he's, you know, somewhere. It's weird that, you know, his phone, keys, or wallet have never been discovered. But after helicopter searches, the Coke County Sheriff's asserts that there was no sign of a struggle. One spot underneath a tree appeared to have indentation marks, which could be literally from anything at this point. The sheriff said it's possible this is where Brandon crouched to watch Kyle and the officer at his truck, but like I said, it could really be from anything. So basically the real question that everyone's asking is, what happened to Brandon Lawson? Deputy Neal of the Coke County Sheriff's Office thinks he walked back to the highway and got a ride. Some law enforcement unanimously reports that foul play was not a factor and believes a body would have been found if Brandon was still in Coke County, which is what I'm saying. Like, if he was there, he would be there to this day, or they would have found him. But the Lawsons assert that Brandon never would have left his family, and Kyle denies he was hallucinating from drugs. But many feel that the 911 call points to foul play. Like I said, I don't hear gunshots, so I don't know. At this point, I'm probably gonna have to agree with Kyle, saying that he's probably hallucinating or was showing a sign of drug-induced mania. As you could hear from the recording, Brandon was slurring his words or putting a lot of words together. But like I said, there's no shortage of conspiracy theories claiming abduction by drug cartels or the trucker who called 911 or police cover-ups. And, you know, that list can go on and on. But right now, the only thing that we can do is just hope that this case is solved someday. But until then, we can't help but wonder how a 26-year-old father of four just seemingly vanishes, basically, into thin air. Like, that's just weird to me. Like, I don't know how a father could just disappear. Like I said, he went missing in 2008, and the only thing that's been found of his is his car, his truck. Like, that's it. And it's just odd, but like, he was 5'9". He was born on November 18th of 1986. He has blue eyes. He was last seen in San Angelo, Texas. He was 26, 230 pounds, you know. It's just weird that he's never been found, and that the only thing that's been found is his truck. So basically, this is just a huge mystery for not only me, but for everybody. Like, there's no other information, there's nothing. It's just like he just went poof in the thin air. But if there's anything else you guys want me to cover, if there's any other cases you want me to cover, please feel free to reach out and to let me know. I am going to turn this here podcast into a true crime forensics podcast. So until the next episode, take care, you guys. Let me know what you want to hear, and please follow me on every other podcast site available where this one will be there. Thank you.